It's everything Queensland footy.
Good bold football from the Brisbane Lions.
That's a big one for the Suns.
This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.
Yes, that's right. Bringing you everything AFL from the Sunshine State. Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure. Nick Davis here with you. And a tale of two halves saw the Lions retain footy's most passionate, intense and fabricated rivalry, we must say. The Q Clash.
Wash your mouth out.
How dare I? It's the sixth time in a row the Lions have taken it home. Jared Lyons taking home the Marcus Ashcroft medal, or let's just call it what it is, the Jared Lyons medal.
It's a new record for most consecutive wins in a Q Clash.
Very good. See, people do care about this rivalry. That's the voice there of Jack Fulham. Jack, not only were you there to witness the incredible turnaround, you're also down the boundary for Essendon GWS down at Metricon on Sunday night. And a cheeky little plug for Northern Exposure. Well done, mate. We are in these trying times. We really applaud that. Good on you.
Absolutely. That's why it's called Northern Exposure, because we are all about exposure.
And right, in that...
look, I'll shut up now.
Right in that Sunday primetime slot for us as well. Down in Melbourne, of course, our man Will Ralston. Will, just free from lockdown almost. Where are you up to?
Nearly. So this is day 13, which means I got my final test today. If that's a negative, I'm free tomorrow. So that's where we're at down here. I think about 20,000 people at the peak ended up in isolation, I should say, as I am. So, yeah, good to be out, but at least I've got the Olympics and at least I've got the Lions.
Well, I was going to say, we thought about you on Saturday afternoon just absolutely going cocoa bananas, because what you Lions fans would have had to put up with in that first half, I was torn watching it, because I wanted to believe that the Suns were playing incredibly well, and I thought to myself, yep, their time has come, well done, they're taking it up to them. And then the switch got flicked, and the Lions were equally as good as the Suns were bad. And I just want to go to you here, Will. How do you feel after that game?
I feel really good about it, to be honest. I think the first half resembled kind of the footy we've been playing for 3 weeks. And obviously, it was the bottom of the low. We couldn't do a thing right. We couldn't win an easy clearance. Even the umpiring decisions weren't going our way, which wasn't, reflective of why we were doing badly. But it's just we're making silly skill errors, silly discipline errors. And I can't even imagine the bake that Fags must be giving the boys at halftime. And I think, if anything, it gave us a bit of a wake-up call. What do you guys think? I feel like it's a form reversal that we've been crying out for.
Watching Chris Fagan's facial expression, especially second half of the second quarter, none of the players coming off the ground could look him in the eye.
Yeah.
That bloke was ropeable. And we don't have any footage of what went on in the sheds at halftime, but I'm guessing it was an almighty spray, because, like, it's the angriest I've seen a man over 55 be since, like, I stole my grandpa's ute when I was about 10 years old. And it was incredible. And as I said, we don't have any footage and we don't know exactly what went on in the change rooms at halftime. But I reckon his target would have been Oscar McInerney. I reckon Oscar would have copped a spray, because first half, rucking against, two part-timers for the Suns in Burgess and I think Corbett had a run in there, and Caleb Graham.
Yeah, the crab.
There was one point there that Big O was being beaten in the hit-outs, and the clearance work was, terrible from the Lions, and sometimes you just got to start pointing fingers at the ruckman. Second half, he came out as a fire-breathing dragon that was the love child of Max Gawn and Shane Mumford. And he completely dominated. I think he almost had the most touches on the ground in the second half. He was incredible, Big O, in the second half. And I think that's what's been missing from the Lions this year. Like, last year, he was kind of underrated in his performances. He won, the player's player. He really showed that he was ready to take over the mantle as the number one ruckman from Steph Martin. And we haven't seen it as much this year. That second half, I think, could be the catalyst for the rest of his year.
Jack, you were there live, and Will, obviously, you've kept a close eye on everything. The lapses that the Lions have had over the past 3 weeks, these stats are really alarming. Against St Kilda, five consecutive goals conceded in the second quarter, then six between quarters three and four. Against Richmond, there was a run of five straight in the third quarter. And on the weekend, three straight in the first term, four straight in the second. What are you boys seeing from the Lions when these lapses occur? Is it a dropped head? Because this is very worrying for a team that's eyeing off a top four spot.
It was interesting to see in the first half against the Suns, where the Suns got on a bit of a roll. Ben King beat Harris Andrews pretty convincingly in the first half. Jack Payne had some pretty horror moments that he'd love to have back. And then, you know, their ball users off halfback, Rich, Birchall, Ryan Lester, were all put under a lot of pressure. And I wouldn't say that there was so much finger pointing, but there was a lot of hands on hips and kind of, oh, hey, well, what are you doing over there, mate? Which, you know, the Suns didn't have a lot of ball in their forward half in the second half, but they don't look as composed and as solid as they did last year. And obviously missing Darcy Gardner and Marcus Adams is a huge piece of that. But when put under pressure, that Lions back line, I'm still not convinced on Jack Payne. He looked very shaky. And Harris this year has been rocks and diamonds. It's he either gets outpointed or he's best on ground. It's there's no real sort of middle ground for Harris this year.
Do you think players from other teams have just worked out Harris Andrews? He had two sensational seasons, and his game is his game. It's almost Dustin Fletcher-esque. But do you think teams have just worked out how to play him?
Yeah, I worry that sometimes. And you see with when Melbourne get beaten, teams figure out Lever and May, for instance, those similar types of defenders that float off, and they don't do their best work one-on-one, but they have so much impact by not being defenders, if you know what I mean. They sort of read the game like a forward would. So I don't think he's been figured out. I think he can still have impact.
Also, just before we go off the Lions, Joe Danaher's game would have to be the most frustrating game that...
Hilarious.
He did everything. Yeah. He took some massive clunks. He missed goals from 5 metres in front. He completely butchered a couple of goals where he should have given a handball over the top. He kicks a couple of miraculous goals, one over his head. Just it is the biggest assortment of mixed lollies that you'll ever get. And oh geez, there was
Well, I'll put this to you. What you just saw on the weekend is the ultimate Joe Danaher game. Lions fans, this is what you get, okay? This is what you're going to get from Joe Danaher. Having watched him as a Dons fan for over 5 years, I still hark back to, I think it was 2016, and the year that Essendon was stripped short of all their players. Incredible moment in the game, trailing St Kilda. Merritt gets the ball out of the middle, puts it on top of Pack. Danaher, no, you knew he was going to take a hanger from 5 seconds beforehand. Dwayne Russell calling the house down. Flies on top, one of the greatest moments you'll ever see. And then misses from 20 metres out directly in front. That's what you get with Joe Danaher. I know a lot of Lions fans are thinking he's going to become this 5-6 goal a game superstar. You're not going to get that. What you saw on the weekend is 100% Joe Danaher, and you have to be okay with that.
I'm completely okay with it. If anything, as soon as he has a set shot, I don't expect him to kick it. And if he kicks it, it's a bonus. But he gets so many looks just because he's so talented. Hmm. And then he'll kick two out of his ass like he did on the weekend, one literally out of midair, one when he's on his back.
He got off the ground for that. He was down on the ground and got his leg up faster than any other player got their whole body up.
And the thing is, he has a great set of hands. And when he's moving up the ground, he's a great link-up player. He can kick at 70. He can kick a few out of his ass. He'll miss a few that will frustrate you. But yeah, it is, in all seriousness, it is a concern, though, out of our talented forward line. I think we have the most players with over 20 goals this year. Don't quote me. I think it's 6, which I think there's like 2 teams on 5. They said the stat during the game. But out of all of them, the only one I back to kick a set shot, 20 out slight angle, the only one I'm comfortable with ball in hand is Link McCarthy at the moment.
Yeah, I honestly thought you were going to say Zach Bailey.
Yeah, but Bailey's the other. He doesn't do it as often, but... everyone else, I assume we're going to miss. It's an awful feeling when we need a crucial goal and Charlie's coming in or Joe or McStay and you just don't have that trust. But we're still kicking goals.
I'd almost say that Link McCarthy with 4 goals in the weekend, he's taking the mantle as the Lions' premier small forward.
I actually want to know who was voting on the Marcus Ashcroft medal, because Jared Lyons had a solid game, picked up plenty of the footy.
33 touches, I think.
Went at 47% efficiency. And a lot of those possessions were sort of cheeky handballs off or quick kicks out of a pack. Lincoln McCarthy and Hugh McCluggage had massive impacts on the game. McCarthy for four quarters and Hugh was huge in the second half. And you just wonder, who was voting on that medal? Because I know Simon Black was in our box and he voted... He gave the 3 to Lincoln McCarthy. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to give away who votes.
You've done it.
Yeah, go with it.
But really, I want to give a whack to who else was voting on that medal, because I really think Lincoln McCarthy was robbed of some silverware.
I argue there's a bias in the Q Clash now that whoever is voting is looking for Jared Lyons, given the Gold Coast Brisbane narrative there. Every time you're going, look what got away from you, Gold Coast. Look what you've done.
Yeah. Oh, he was good. Don't get me wrong. But he would have been third to me. I agree.
We should talk about the Suns very quickly. Fiorini, 41 touches. Great outing for him. Oleg Markov subbed off with a hamstring injury. Haven't got updates on that just yet. But Tuuk Miller, again, 12 straight games, 30 touches. How good? I want to put it to both of you. We've got four games left to go in this season. The Suns taking on the D's. Venue still yet to be confirmed. That will be Saturday afternoon. Four games to go. I want to know what both of you would like to see come out of these four games to get us to the end of the season, to leave us feeling optimistic about the Suns' chances. Not the same position we're always into, but four games, what do you want to see from this team?
Well, I'm going to say Saturday was a little bit of a step back for all of them.
Yes.
They were very happy with themselves at halftime. You know, there was big smiles of the blokes coming off the field, and I think they kind of underestimated just how wounded Brisbane was by that first half. And they didn't fire a shot in the second. The last 3 to 4 weeks, they've had four-quarter performances. Even last week against the Doggies, they were really good for four quarters, couldn't quite get the job done. So you just want to see that for the rest of the year. They've got some winnable games coming up. They've got Melbourne this week, which will... Well,
sneaky chance.
Well, seeing Melbourne's record against bottom eight teams this year isn't so good. They don't know where that game's going to be played. It could be Darwin, probably most likely going to be at Metricon Stadium. It's still TBC. You'd love to see the Suns, pinch at least another couple of wins. Essendon could be beatable. They've got them at home. You just want to see a four-quarter performance out of them, because I think the turnaround in the second half and winning games after the bye, especially that game against Richmond, I think that's almost enough for their season to be a pass mark. I'm not sure what you think, Will.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I would just like to see them play with a bit of freedom again. That first half, they looked like the shackles were loose, and then the commentator sort of alluded to it. Once Brisbane came out and breathing fire, it's like they had this lead and like, oh, let's hold on to this lead. And they stopped taking all the risks that got them there. So I'd love two wins out of the final four. But, just a bit of competition, because let's be honest, it was wet lettuce leaf stuff at halftime onwards against the Lions. So I'd love to see him put up a fight against a couple of good teams.
The other thing I'd love to see out of the Suns is the bloke they recruited in the mid-season draft, Ned Moyle, get a run.
Ned.
The big ruckman. Obviously, they've been hamstrung with Witts going down earlier in the year. Zach Smith is probably coming to the end of his AFL tenure. Give Big Ned a run in the ruck, because it's... I don't think it can be any worse than sort of Caleb Graham and Chris Burgess and the Josh Corbett trifecta, who, and fair play to them, they've been filling in, they've done an admirable job, they've tried hard, but you need to have a genuine ruckman in the AFL. I think you just can't get away with it for too long with stopgap measures.
100%.
All right, well, that looks like it's it for another week on Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure. Hopefully we can see a few of those things kick into play in the next week or so, and we'll find out very soon where the Suns and the Demons will play. Jack Fulham, Will Rolson, Nick Davis, thanks again for Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.